Today is the 18th day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's wonderful to be here with you around the global campfire as we go into a brand new shiny, sparkly week together. Let's remember, I mean, you might get sick of me saying it at the beginning of the week, but it's nice to be reminded now and then. It's a reset. It's a fresh start. Let's get it right. And let's allow the scriptures to be a part of that. We are in the book of Leviticus at this point, learning the law and what will govern the people. This week we'll read from the New Living Translation. And today, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Suppose one of you sins against your associate and is unfaithful to the Lord. Suppose you cheat in a deal involving a security deposit, or you steal or commit fraud, or you find lost property and lie about it, or you lie while swearing to tell the truth, or you commit any other such sin. If you have sinned in any of these ways, you are guilty. You must give back whatever you stole, or the money you took by extortion, or the security deposit, or the lost property you found, or anything obtained by swearing falsely. You must make restitution by paying the full price plus an additional 20% to the person you have harmed. On the same day, you must present a guilt offering. As a guilt offering to the Lord, you must bring to the priest your own ram with no defects, or you may buy one of equal value. Through this process, the priest will purify you before the Lord, making you right with him, and you will be forgiven for any of these sins you have committed." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons the following instructions regarding the burnt offering. The burnt offering must be left on top of the altar until the next morning, and the fire on the altar must be kept burning all night. In the morning, after the priest on duty has put on his official linen clothing and linen undergarments, he must clean out the ashes of the burnt offering and put them beside the altar. Then he must take off these garments, change back into his regular clothes, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out." These are the instructions regarding the grain offering. Aaron's sons must present this offering to the Lord in front of the altar. The priest on duty will take from the grain offering a handful of the choice flour moistened with olive oil, together with all the frankincense. He will burn this representative portion on the altar as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Aaron and his sons may eat the rest of the flour, but it must be baked without yeast and eaten in a sacred place within the courtyard of the tabernacle. Remember, it must never be prepared with yeast. I have given it to the priests as their share of the special gifts presented to me. Like the sin offering and the guilt offering, it is most holy. Any of Aaron's male descendants may eat it from the special gifts presented to the Lord. This is their permanent right from generation to generation. Anyone or anything that touches these offerings will become holy." And the Lord said to Moses, "On the day Aaron and his sons are anointed, they must present to the Lord the standard grain offering of 2 quarts of choice flour, half to be offered in the morning and half to be offered in the evening. It must be carefully mixed with olive oil and cooked on a griddle. Then slice this grain offering and present it as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. In each generation, the high priest who succeeds Aaron must prepare this same offering. It belongs to the Lord and must be burned up completely. This is a permanent law. All such grain offerings of a priest must be burned up entirely. None of it may be eaten." Then the Lord said to Moses, give Aaron and his sons the following instructions regarding the sin offering. The animal given as an offering for sin is a most holy offering, and it must be slaughtered in the Lord's presence at the place where the burnt offerings are slaughtered. The priest who offers the sacrifice as a sin offering must eat his portion in a sacred place within the courtyard of the tabernacle. Anyone or anything that touches the sacrificial meat will become holy. If any of the sacrificial blood spatters on a person's clothing, the soiled garment must be washed in a sacred place. If a clay pot is used to boil the sacrificial meat, it must be broken. If a bronze pot is used, it must be scoured and thoroughly rinsed with water. Any male from a priest's family may eat from this offering. It is most holy. But the offering for sin may not be eaten if its blood was brought into the tabernacle as an offering for purification in the holy place. It must be completely burned with fire. These are the instructions for the guilt offering. It is most holy. The animal sacrificed as a guilt offering must be slaughtered at the place where the burnt offerings are slaughtered, and its blood must be splattered against all sides of the altar. The priest will then offer all its fat on the altar, including the fat of the broad tail, the fat around the internal organs, the two kidneys, and the fat around them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver. These are to be removed with the kidneys, and the priests will burn them on the altar as a special gift presented to the Lord. This is the guilt offering. Any male from a priest's family may eat the meat. It must be eaten in a sacred place, for it is most holy. The same instructions apply to both the guilt offering and the sin offering. Both belong to the priest who uses them to purify someone, making that person right with the Lord. In the case of the burnt offering, the priest may keep the hide of the sacrificed animal. Any grain offering that has been baked in an oven, prepared in a pan, or cooked on a griddle belongs to the priest who presents it. All other grain offerings, whether made of dry flour or flour moistened with olive oil, are to be shared equally among all the priests, the descendants of Aaron. These are the instructions regarding the different kinds of peace offerings that may be presented to the Lord. If you present your peace offerings as an expression of thanksgiving, the usual animal sacrifice must be accompanied by various kinds of bread made without yeast, thin cakes mixed with olive oil, wafers spread with oil, and cakes made of choice flour mixed with olive oil. This peace offering of thanksgiving must also be accompanied by loaves of bread made with yeast. One of each kind of bread must be presented as a gift to the Lord. It will then belong to the priest who splatters the blood of the peace offering against the altar. The meat of the peace offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the same day it is offered. None of it may be saved for the next morning. If you bring an offering to fulfill a vow or as a voluntary offering, the meat must be eaten on the same day the sacrifice is offered, but whatever is left over may be eaten on the second day. Any meat left over until the third day must be completely burned up. If any of the meat from the peace offering is eaten on the third day, the person who presented it will not be accepted by the Lord. You will receive no credit for offering it. By then, the meat will be contaminated. If you eat it, you will be punished for your sin. Meat that touches anything ceremonially unclean may not be eaten. It must be completely burned up. The rest of the meat may be eaten, but only by people who are ceremonially clean. If you are ceremonially unclean and you eat meat from a peace offering that was presented to the Lord, you will be cut off from the community. If you touch anything that is unclean, whether it is human defilement or an unclean animal or any other unclean, detestable thing, and then eat meat from a peace offering presented to the Lord, you will be cut off from the community. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. You must never eat fat, whether from cattle, sheep, or goats. The fat of an animal found dead or torn to pieces by wild animals must never be eaten, though it may be used for any other purpose. Anyone who eats fat from an animal presented as a special gift to the Lord will be cut off from the community. No matter where you live, you must never consume the blood of any bird or animal. Anyone who consumes blood will be cut off from the community. Mark 3:7-30. Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples, and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, from east of the Jordan River, and even from as far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him. Jesus instructed his disciples to have a boat ready so the crowd would not crush him. He had healed many people that day, so all the sick people eagerly pushed forward to touch him. And whenever those possessed by evil spirits caught sight of him, the spirits would throw them to the ground in front of him, shrieking, "You are the Son of God!" But Jesus sternly commanded the spirits not to reveal who he was. Afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. These are the 12 he chose: Simon, whom he named Peter, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. One time Jesus entered a house, and the crowds began to gather again. Soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. "He's out of his mind," they said. But the teachers of religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said, "He's possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. That's where he gets the power to cast out demons." Jesus called them over and responded with an illustration. "How can Satan cast out Satan?" he asked. "A kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is divided and fights against himself, how can he stand? He would never survive." Let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. I tell you the truth, all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is a sin with eternal consequences. He told them this because they were saying he's possessed by an evil spirit. Psalm 37:1-11. A Psalm of David. "Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass they soon fade away, like spring flowers they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. The lowly will possess the land and live in peace and prosperity. Proverbs 10, 3 and 4. The Lord will not let the godly go hungry, but he refuses to satisfy the craving of the wicked. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for a brand new week to restart. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. What would we do if that weren't true? And so we embrace this new week and invite your Holy Spirit to lead us day by day and step by step, and that we would humbly walk with you, and that we would humbly walk with each other. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into all truth. Each of our steps of this week, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
February 15th. This is from Junk to Treasure, and I carry the request of my dad family to the throne of grace. We lift up searched and known for her brother Matthew. We ask, Father, that you destroy the barriers and knock down the strongholds that he is under, and that you will destroy all of the sickness and disease and ailments that is attacking him. And we ask that the Holy Spirit woo him to the cross, that he will be saved and walk out God's plan for his life. His ride or die, we are asking that she may have success with this new license she has from her board exams. We ask you to lead her exactly to where she needs to be for her success and for you to receive glory from the prayer wall for retaining honor, whose dog Charlie has ingested a chicken bone. Father God, we are asking that he be able to pass this through his system without any damage whatsoever, and that he will remain a healthy companion for retaining honor. For Elaine Matthews Michael on the DAB Friends page, who is suffering from depression, Lord, we ask that you bind up this depression and cast it away from her, from her mind, soul, and body, that she will be relieved, revitalized, and that she will have new insight for the love that you have for her. And she will know the way to walk, because she doesn't see the plan now. In the name of Jesus.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Billy from Montgomery with the Trinity Stone. I wanted to put a prayer request out there for my dad. He was in the hospital recently. 2 weeks ago, he actually had COVID. He was in the hospital with COVID and pneumonia. So he has gone back home from then. But just this past weekend, he ended up in the hospital again. He was constipated. Of course, it was bad constipation. Anyway, he got through that. And now he's back at home. Everything was fine. And then this morning he took his blood pressure, and his blood pressure seems to be low. So he's just feeling a little lightheaded and dizzy. I just wanted to cover him up with prayer. He needs to be covered in prayers. And that is all. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'll talk to you guys later. Love y'all. Bye for now.
Hey, this is Jerry calling from Duluth, Minnesota. Lisa from coastal Georgia, your husband is just 56 years of age. Sarcosis or something like that. It's attacking his heart. And understand the fear, anxiety, the hard time thinking of what the future may hold, wanting to grasp on to 15 more years as a promise, which none of us had that promise. Psalm 90 verse 12 says to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I know you're scared. You said you're not sleeping. May I recommend Sleep, Brian's album? I couldn't sleep last night. I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's just a wonderful album to help you get you back on track as far as scripture and the music. Sleep, a contemplative journey. Try it. And then Lynn from Southern California. Millions are probably praying for you right now. I understand the hurt, the pain, but you know you gave the answer. Pursue joy, love, one step at a time. God bless you. Bye.
Hello, this is Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me again. I am a little behind on the community prayer, but I wanted to, I heard from Junk to Treasure lift up her daughter, Trisha, and I wanted to lift her up to the Lord for healing in her body, that there would be no effects from any of those things that happened to her when she was working, and that she would be able to return to work, and she would do well at her job. And also I pray for her husband that he would be able to find a position that so that he could provide for the family as well, so that they would have enough for all their needs, and they would have so much that they would be able to be givers to others and bless others. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.